Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
So on this episode, we're going to continue our top 10 players at each position, the rankings that we started. As a preface, we went through catcher through third base of the whole infield, and today we're going to do outfielders. So we'll do top 20 outfielders because it's just kind of a little bit weird to rank right, left, center, especially because so many players like mix and intertwine in all those positions. Then we'll do top 10 DHs, starters, relievers, and we'll round it out with top 10 overall players. I'm sure in the top 10 players, as well as all the other rankings we've done, there's going to be a lot of disagreements. So if you have issues with what we ranked, definitely let us know in the comments what you would have done. This episode will be on YouTube. Our YouTube channel's It's a Bronx Story, and it'll also be on all the podcasting audio-only sites as usual. So to round it, or to get it started, I will obviously go to our little top 10 screen that we had going last time, and we will kick it off with outfielders. And I think, I mean, this one's pretty obvious. Mike Trout is the best
outfielder. Is it obvious? I'm going to put him at one as well, but he is coming off injury. If we're going by just war, I know we're ranking guys by just like outfield spots, but if he goes from center field to left field, which I could see it happening, that's going to take a hit in his war value. I mean, once again, like I wouldn't put it past Trout to have another awesome year because in the few games he did play, he was amazing. So I don't think it's as much as a slam dunk as it was just a couple years ago.
I don't think you can put anyone above Mike Trout until they have a season worthy of being above Mike Trout. Like Juan Soto, if he has like a 1.2 OPS season and Mike Trout just has like a 950 or something, then sure, like maybe next year you put, or at the end of the year you put Soto above Mike Trout, but Going into the season, I don't think there's any outfielder that has solidified themselves as being better than Mike Trout.
Yeah. Yep.
But that brings us to number two, which, like I just said, Juan Soto. I think he's an underrated defender. He's definitely not an amazing defender, but I think a lot of people view him as like a super heavy bat first guy. But that's just because his bat is so good that you just don't look at his fielding. But I really don't think he's a liability.
Yeah, and I still think he can improve. He's gone from like left field to right field, and I think he's going to find a position that helps him. And that's also another reason why we just did outfielders, just because it's so hard to nail down where a guy's going to play. Yeah. But yeah, I think he's getting better, and his hitting is just outworldly. So he draws a ton of walks, you know.
Yeah, I think this is where it gets interesting because the next three, I think it's definitely a combination of Acuña, Harper, and Judge, but it's what order do you put them in? And I think Mookie is there too, but like just a tiny tick below them at this point.
Just because of the year he had last year and the injury concerns, gotta knock him down. Like,
yeah, I think Mookie is definitely six. But now it's what order do you put those three in?
Yeah. Like, well, what's kind of your thinking on it?
Yeah, you can go.
I was just thinking, I like Judge just because it's always a matter if he stays healthy, right? Because he puts up the numbers and he's an elite defender, you know? And that's kind of what I value. I know I'm a Yankees fan, so maybe I'm being biased, but that's really valuable to have there. And I think he will be a top three outfielder. But
yeah, ooh. I'm trying to not be super biased here. So I'm trying to look at things in that lens as much as I can. Obviously, we watch Judge more than any of these other players, so we know his game so well. And Judge, I think, is the best defender of the three. Neither of the other two are bad defenders. They're definitely both good defenders. I think Judge, a fully healthy season of Judge, I do think is the best hitter of the three. He's proved, he's has like, if you look at his numbers since 2017 offensively, it's top three or four for almost every meaningful offensive stat. So, except batting average, but who cares? So it's tough because how much do we factor in his injury history? And like, you could make the same argument for Acuna, where like he could be great, but he's never had a season as good as Judge's best seasons.
So my thinking is Judge, because of his defense, Harper, even though Judge has injury concerns, Harper, he's been so good, but it's kind of fluctuates between year and year. You never know what guy you're going to get. Like, when he's on, he's great. But then he also has some weird seasons where he just kind of dips. So far, we haven't seen it in Philly, so maybe we shouldn't be concerned about it, but he does have that kind of, you know, weird, wonky seasons. And then Acuna, I think he's really good. It's just that because he's going to be hurt to start the year, I can't put him above those two guys.
Yeah, I think I pulled up Bryce Harper's baseball reference page, and like you said, it's that he had that 1.1 in his first MVP season in 15, and then dipped to 8.14 the next year, and then went back up to 1.08, and then dipped down to 8.89. So, and like, none of those are bad seasons, but Judge, if he's healthy, he's going to have over like a 900 OPS. Let me just pull up these. I don't think people look at Aaron Judge's baseball reference page enough. It's actually ridiculous how he's had an 891 in the shortened season, but other than that, he's had over a 900 OPS every single year. I think if he's healthy, he's obviously going to be an elite offensive player. He's an elite defensive player. So I think I agree with you. I think upside, I think that Acuna probably has the highest upside, but like you said, injuries.
Yep.
He's not going to play a full season. And that's why if he was starting year healthy, I think I would put Acuna above Harper. But since he's not missing enough time like Tatis where I would knock him down significantly. Because he's the type of player that can miss a month and still end up with like a 7 or 8 WAR because he's that good.
Exactly.
So yeah. I think, and sorry everyone about the I don't know how to put the little accent on Acuña's name. I know it has one, but yeah. So yeah, then we have Mookie Betts at 6, where that's just a product of he hasn't been quite as good the last 2 years, I believe. I wouldn't be shocked if he came out and had a 900 plus OPS, and he always plays elite defense. So
I know they've been playing him at second base to kind of preserve his hip. So that's also just why I kind of just have him dip. But it's not because I don't expect him to be great. It's just that, you know, there are some concerns there. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if he puts up MVP type numbers, though.
Yeah. So this is where I think the rest of this list is really opinion-based projections and, like, what you think of players and, like, how knowledgeable. Because next, it's tough. So the players that come to mind immediately, Kyle Tucker, Teoscar, George Springer.
And George Springer. Those are the exact three players I was going to say as my, like, next tier. Like, these guys were obvious. It's just a matter of where you want to rank it. These guys, I think, are just a little bit lower than them, but they're all really good. So,
I was just saying, they're, like, not really George Springer because we kind of know what he is at this point, but Kyle Tucker and Teoscar are still really young, and, like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Kyle Tucker came out and had a 1.0 OPS season because he showed last year that he was a ridiculously good hitter. So,
yeah.
And Teoscar's like he's not great defensively. I don't think he's necessarily bad. I'll pull up his baseball reference, but his hitting it's pretty good.
Yeah. I think so. The things that all three of these guys do that I really like is that they steal. I think Kyle Tucker does it more than the other guys, but, you know, Springer and Teoscar, they're sneaky fast. They could steal 10 to 15 bags, maybe even 20 if they really need to. And they both hit really well. I think Tucker just has that another gear in him.
Tucker's?
And that's the guy I want to put. Yeah. That's Tucker's kind of the guy that I want to put. Mm-hmm. Yep. In the first half, he...
as many stolen bases as Tucker. He only had two less stolen bases.
Really? I told you, he's sneaky fast. He's a really good good player. But Tucker, he started the year terribly. And then he ended the second half just on a tear. Like, he was probably one of the bust of the first half. Actually, that's not fair because it was obviously Cody Bellinger, which we didn't even mention. Cody Bellinger, we haven't mentioned yet in our outfield ranking. So kind of interested to see where he really not even alert. Top 20.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, but like Tucker kind of started off terribly, but then he ended the year to get his numbers to where it was, went on a real stretch, and I think he's going to carry over and have a full season of that.
Yeah.
And he plays better defense.
I would not be shocked at all if Kyle Tucker was top five next year in these rankings. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of promise. I think I would put Teoscar ahead of George Springer just because Springer's coming off an injury. I think if I were to have to make a bet, I think I would probably put my money on George Springer just because it might be a little safer of a bet. But I think I think Teoscar has a much higher ceiling this year than George Springer does.
I think so too. Yeah. Yep.
But so, it's kind of scary that the Blue Jays do have two of the top 10 outfielders.
Yeah, outfielders, yeah. And Gurriel is also a guy that you shouldn't sleep on. Like, he could really do well. I don't think he's a good defender, but he's a sneaky guy. Yeah. So I think for the next tier for mines, it depends on if you have Ketel Marte as a outfielder, which I do. But I think it's Ketel, Robert, and then Buxton, and then Tyler O'Neill. Those are kind of the guys that I were thinking about. I don't know about you.
I think you could argue.
Also, Christian Yelich. I forgot about.
I mean, I think you could Brian Reynolds and Cedric Mullins in that tier as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Robert is the next. That's who I would put next. I mean, Robert is disgusting. If I lived in a state where you can make sports bet, you could make bets on sports, I would put a bet that he's going to win MVP because I doubt his odds are great. It's kind of like the Shane Bieber call that I made in the shortened season where I actually got it right. I don't know if you remember in grad school, I predicted that he would win Cy Young and then he did. But
yeah,
Luis Robert's, or Robert, is just so fun to watch and he's so good that his upside is ridiculously high. He's fast, he's good at defense, and he destroys the ball.
So he has a high floor just because of his defense, you know? Like, he's going to put up, like, two WAR just because of his defense alone. And then it's just, like, can he put it all together? He got injured last year, and then that kind of, kind of slowed him down. But if you look at his numbers, I think he was on pace for a really great season, if you want to just pull up his stats.
He's healthy to start the year, right?
Yeah, he's healthy. He's totally healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he had
look at that.
3.6 WAR in 68 games. Like, in 300 pay appearances. 338 batting average, 946 OPS. The dude is gross. Like,
yeah,
he's
definitely one of the people are kind of sleeping on him. Yeah.
Yeah, outside of the Yankees. Yep. Top three.
Yep. Yeah, like you said, his odds for MVP is kind of low, but like if you picked him, like you would not be wrong. Like that you're not wrong picking him as like your sleeper candidate for MVP, and I could totally see him winning it altogether.
Yeah, he is absolutely disgusting.
Mm-hmm. So you said Cedric Mullins, and I knew about him. I know he had a great year. I just don't know if I believe in it. I just don't know if I believe in the year that he had.
I mean, that's fair. I think he's definitely on the lower end of that group.
Mm-hmm.
But I think keeping in the conversation for that group is fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, my next pick would be Byron Buxton, just because, like, his defense is also otherworldly. Like, he is the best defensive outfielder, in my opinion. Yeah. It's just a matter of, can he stay healthy? He just never stays healthy. And that's the reason why he probably shouldn't be the 11th, just because I think he's going to get hurt again. So yeah, maybe we could put those other guys. But if he's healthy, I think he could be a top 10 outfielder.
Yeah, definitely. So remind me of the other names that you have.
So I had Tyler O'Neill as another pick, who I also really like. And now that I'm thinking about it, we didn't mention Starling Marte, did we?
Oh, you also had Ketel Marte.
And Ketel Marte, yep.
We didn't rank him. He would be, like, third ranked second baseman, I think. Third or fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a little bit further down for center field. I don't know if I'd rank him 11, mm-hmm, because his defense in center field really isn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
What about Castellanos?
I have him as a DH in my ranking.
That's fair. Wait. But, I mean, hold on. I don't think he's
going to That's the thing. The Phillies outfield is going to be a mess. They're like, it's going to be there. But they're going to hit the ball.
Yeah.
They're going to hit the ball, but yeah, they will not be able to field the ball.
I feel like.
But yeah, I have him as a DH.
I think you kind of got to put. I feel like Castellanos. Who do you think is going to play more outfield versus DH? Because I feel like Schwarber is going to be their main DH.
What is their projected lineup? Let me see the Phillies' projected lineup. Like, I agree with you. I would think Schwarber is the guy that's going to DH more often than not. But what do other people have their lineup as? Why can't I find anything? Can you find anything on there? I'm going on roster resource, trying to see if that has anything.
RotoChamp has Schwarber as DH and Castellanos as an outfielder.
Okay. So let's put him. We can put him then.
So we've got Tyler O'Neill, Ketel Marte, Castellanos.
And then Starling Marte as well.
I mean, there's also Brantley, Yelich.
Brantley I also have as a DH. Yeah.
Is Jordan not their DH?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes. They said they were trying to get Jordan more outfield spots, but he's probably going to be their, like, mostly used DH. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Kiner Falefa hit a home run in spring training in the game today.
Nice.
Okay, but... All right, I'm just going to... I need to just, like, really quick put... I'm just going to put these names... at the bottom.
Just there, and then we figure out how we're gonna rank them.
Yeah, I'm gonna put them below. Tel Marte, Nick, I don't know how to spell his last name. Hold on. Wait, did I spell it right? Oh, I did. That's impressive. Starling, Marte, Yelich. Was there
another name that I keep thinking keep adding people, but Chris Bryant is probably an outfielder now with the Rockies, right? He's not playing third base. There's Tyler O'Neill was another one.
O'Neill.
And then we had Buxton. I don't think we actually ranked him. We talked about him, but we didn't rank him.
So we need 9. That's 6. That's eight. I mean, the last name, I mean, Winker or Gallo?
Well, Brian Reynolds, you mentioned.
Oh.
Brian Reynolds was,
Brian Reynolds. I mean, I'm going to put.
Is there anyone else? Wait, did we have, Merrifield is a second baseman, I think. That's how I have him ranked. So.
Yep. Okay. All right. I think that's. I mean, there's also Rosarena, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's on this listing of it. Like, yeah.
Okay. So these players we have to put
somewhere in our ranking.
So who do you think is the next best in this list?
Honestly, I want to put O'Neill just because I believe in him that much. I like the defense. He plays gold glove defense. You look at his StatCat page and like they're all phenomenal. Like
yeah.
I really do think he's my guy there. And then now I want to give Yelich credit for what he has done, but the last 2 years has been terrible. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm just giving it to him just because, you know, the name brand of it. But I think everyone else has a better chance of being a better outfielder, just looking at last year's numbers, except for maybe Gallo.
I feel like I would put Ketel Marte, Chris Bryant, and Byron Buxton and Brian Reynolds all ahead of Yelich.
Yeah, I agree.
I think now is when we go with Buxton.
Okay.
How do you?
Yeah, because even like I said, it's kind of the same thing with Robert, where it's like he has a high floor just because of his defense. It's just a matter of will he play the game.
Yeah, if he's healthy, and like we're putting Judge at three. So we can't hurt. We can't. He's definitely way more injury prone than Judge is, but we can't ding
mm-hmm.
him out of the.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely can be a top like six outfielder in the league if he stays healthy.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Yep.
The last 2 years when he's healthy, it was like MVP season pace, and then just gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
I want to put like Brian Reynolds.
That's what I was about to say. Then, I think this is where I feel like Ketel Marte should probably be at second base. Okay,
I think
so? I'm gonna put Ketel Marte next, but if he was a second baseman, he'd be much higher.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I think now the next three to me are Yelich, Brantley and Bryant, but what order? It's like Chris Bryant's really not a good outfielder,
mm-hmm.
but he's a very consistent, like a pretty consistently good hitter. Brantley also isn't a good outfielder, but he's a good hitter.
I think Brantley has it for just consistency for me.
Yeah.
Like he's so like he's gonna put up a 300 average, put up 20 home runs. He's not going to play great defense, but I like the consistency of it.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant, he does kind of have that little, it's not as extreme as Harper, but he does have that kind of fluctuation.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like.
Honestly, I would put Winker above
I think Winker goes above Chris Bryant. I think Jesse Winker goes next. Like, I'm going to pull up his baseball reference base, but he's really good. I think just him playing in Cincinnati that people don't quite give him the props that he deserves. Like, he had a 930 and then 2 years ago and then a 950 last year. He's done nothing but cash the entire time he's been. And his rookie year, he had a 904.
Yeah. He just can't play defense, but he could definitely hit the ball. And, like, I could imagine him hitting near 300.
Yeah.
If not exactly at 300.
Okay. Okay, so we've got four spots left. I don't think Gallo makes it.
No. His defense is really good, but I just don't see him making it. Here's where I would put Yelich, just because I know what he's capable of. If he's healthy, if he's past his knee injury, we don't know that. It seems like I've been kind of watching him. Like his launch angle is kind of lower than it should be, but like when he's back, like he's able to like launch balls, especially in Milwaukee. So I think he's going to have, I think he's more likely to bounce back than Cody Bellinger. And obviously we don't even have Cody Bellinger ranked here, so that should be obvious.
I mean, Cody Bellinger is like doing historically bad in spring training right now. He's striking out 75% of his at-bats.
Yeah, he's doing worse than Joey Gallo in striking out this spring. So that tells you something.
I don't think Cody Bellinger is going to rebound. I don't know what happened. Like, that shoulder injury he got from doing that celebration in the playoffs seems to have actually ruined his career.
So, do you remember Matt Kemp? When he was going for a 40-40 season in like 2009, maybe 2010. Yeah. And then he just missed out. And then he was like, I'm going to do it next year. He had a great April and then he tore his shoulder. And then like he was just never the same. Even Adrian Gonzalez, it's like those shoulder injuries, like they really sap you of your power. But like the fact that Bellinger is just like he keeps tinkering with his swings. It's just like he doesn't seem to have the it's crazy how bad he is. And like I don't even have a true explanation for it other than the injury, but I don't think that explains everything about it.
Okay. And I think Cedric Mullins earns going next.
Okay.
Like just like you said with Yelich, like you're giving him the respect from being consistent. I think you have to give Cedric Mullins respect from how good he was last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So now the final two.
I want to say Marte and then Castellanos, and I'm leaving off Bryant altogether.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be shocked if Starling Marte really declined this year just because of his age and how much speed is so important to him that the age could really hurt him.
Yeah.
But I do think it's fair. I think that's a good ranking.
And this was also just a really tough listing to do. Like you saw how we were like kind of just debating it, you know, like this, like a lot of these rankings, like this could have been, you know, a coin flip between who's ranked above who.
Okay, who's the second ranked DH?
So you're not gonna put
Alright, who's a third ranked DH?
So, okay, you didn't even include Shohei as just a DH because he's not gonna be. I agree. So I do think even with it, I still think Stan and Yordan are better hitters than Shohei, and they will have better hitting stats. So I can't. So we're not even going to include pitching, right? Because that makes no sense to include that.
Yeah.
We're just ranking him strictly as a DH. Even still, I still think he's the third best DH.
I don't agree.
You like, don't. You don't. Who do you have as your?
Is it stats? I don't think he's. Like, what did he end last year? He had a 965 OPS?
Yeah, he was great.
I thought he trailed off at the end of last year.
He did trail off at the end. It was like, people were talking about, oh, his average, he's, you know, 250, something like that, 260. It was like, but he did great. Like, he mashed the ball. He also steals bases as a pitcher/DH. Like, yeah. He does do a lot of things as a hitter. So I do think he is the third best. And you could make an argument that he could be even higher than that. But I'm going to say just third best, just because Yordan and Stanton are just animals. And Stanton is tearing the cover off the ball in spring training.
Shohei had a better season than Stanton last year, but I mean, Stanton's, like, arguably the best power hitter of all time, mm-hmm. if you're not counting steroids. Just, like,
mm-hmm.
pure power. Like, mm-hmm. his power is actually ridiculous. Like, Hank Aaron was a better hitter because he mm-hmm. made better contact, but Stanton's power is just, it doesn't make sense. Like, it looks like he's barely swinging and the ball goes 450 feet at 120
yeah.
miles an hour.
Yeah, that's he's so strong. Like, yeah, it's like he barely makes contact and the ball just flies like 400 feet. Like, it makes no sense. But here's something to think about. So, in the Angels lineup, Rendon was not there, Trout was not there, and Shohei was still putting up these numbers, even though pitchers knew they could just walk the guy. Do you think having more protection helps Shohei?
I mean, yeah. And I now, like, you could definitely obviously make an argument that Alvarez is better than Stanton, too. Mm-hmm. I think I wouldn't be shocked or even slightly surprised if Alvarez had a better season than Stanton. I'm just mm-hmm. putting Stanton there because I'm biased and I love him. But
yeah. And in your game, so Ryan's been playing MLB The Show, and Stanton has hit like 30 home runs in 60 games.
He's hit 37 home runs since batting like 300. If he did that in real life, it'd be bonkers. But
I would love that if he did that, though. That would be amazing.
I think these are definitely the top three. And then the next two that come to mind for me are JD and Schwarber.
So I was thinking JD, Nelson, and then Schwarber, but I'm cool with either.
No, let me look at Nelson Cruz's stats last year. He's got to start falling off at this point.
He trailed off at this end. Like, when he joined the Rays, he wasn't the same hitter. But overall, if you look at his stats, like, they're really good.
832. I mean, he also took steroids.
Well, honestly, I could definitely see JD. I could see Schwarber ahead of him just because, like, he's so old. You expect him to drop off at some. He's what, going to be 41, 42? How old is he?
42, I think.
42, JD, yeah. Like,
really bad in 2020.
He was, but they were saying how it was because of the replay. They couldn't go inside the, like, watch their at-bats. And then he did turn it around last year.
He had an 830. That's not JD level.
Yeah. But I still think that's better than Nelson Cruz. And I still think he's going to put up better numbers than Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, I'd go Kyle Schwarber and then JD and then
Cruz.
Okay.
If we were having Castellanos as a DH, he would be my fourth one. It's still great. Their outfield is going to be so bad. Poor Phillies pitchers, you know. They're going to – do you remember – this is J.D. Martinez now, but do you remember when he was playing outfield and, like, he had, like – you know, he kind of had those alligator arms and, like, didn't catch the ball and then, like, didn't – like, Sanchez get, like, a triple or something just because – or, like, a double. It was something crazy like that. It's going to be so bad.
Now I have to think about, like, who
– So, Franmil, I think, is the – Franmil would be my next guy for the Guardians now. He's really good.
Like, do we want to consider Luke Voit DH?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I think he is now a DH with the Padres.
I think Luke Voit's better than Franmil.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he has better potential, but I think Framil is so consistent. If you look at his numbers, like I really do like Framil. I think people sleep on him just on the Guardians.
I mean, he has a career OPS of 846.
So is Soler a DH? For my purposes, I'm gonna say he is a DH.
Yeah, and I mean Luke Voit, outside of last year where he was hurt and didn't get playing time, like
he's really good. Yeah, no, he is. Let me look up Luke Voit's number, because when he joined with the Yankees, he was insane, and then he continued it up until he got hurt. In the UK, that series, he got hurt, right? He had like a torn groin or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you saw what he did in 2020. And let me just look up Fran Mills real quick. Yeah, okay. I could put Voit ahead of Fran Mill.
Okay.
Now I'm kind of drawing a blank on just two. So there's Jorge Soler. I guess he's the guy if you consider him a DH.
Do you think Salvador Perez is going to be their DH
this year? So I think he's going to be. So I know the Royals have a really good catcher prospect. Yeah. And they've been putting Salvador as, like, the catcher/DH. Like, he's definitely played a lot more DH, but I still think he's going to count as a catcher.
Oh, yeah, we read him as a catcher.
Yeah.
So Soler, who else would even...
Austin Meadows, is he a DH? I know he played some games at DH for the Rays, but I don't know if that was just because he was injured and they had him there. Only other guy that I'm thinking of is Cabrera, but even then, like, I feel like there's probably a better hitter out there, but just I'm drawing a blank.
I mean, do we think Eloy is going to DH? This is actually really tough.
I think Eloy should be a DH. I just can't think of the White Sox outfield. Because I know they got Pollock now. They have Robert. Andrew Vaughn is a first baseman. Oh, no. Well, Andrew Vaughn would be a DH because now they have Pollock. And they have Abreu at first base.
Check the DH as Gavin Sheets.
What?
Why is it not Andrew Vaughn?
That's wild to me.
Is he hurt or something? No, it's just their bench player. I guess people think Gavin Sheets is better.
I disagree with that. I think Andrew Vaughn should be their DH. And I think he's much better than Gavin Sheets.
Everything has Gavin Sheets listed as their DH.
Why? Does La Russa hate Andrew Vaughn? Is there like some sort of drama that we don't know? White Sox fans, can you please comment on the situation?
That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Chris Davis.
I'm trying to think the Dodgers lineup. Who do they have as their DH? Is Justin Turner their DH? No, he's playing third base. Gavin Lux, is he their DH? Is he better than... I mean, I had him as a rookie of the year, so I could have him do that. But, like, it was mainly because of his defense, though. Like, I think his hitting plus his defense makes him valuable. I don't think just his hitting makes him valuable.
Rotoshamp has Max Muncy.
As a DH?
Yeah, and Gavin Lux as their second baseman.
That also doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, Gavin Lux is a better defender than Max Muncy, so it does make sense.
I have him.
I don't know who to put here. Like, because so many lineups are like, you don't know who's going to be their DH.
Is Trey Mancini?
If Max Muncy's their DH, then.
Mm-hmm. Is Trey Mancini a DH?
Probably. Is Mountcastle, Mullins, and.
And Anthony Santander. So, like, they can't all be there at the same time. So, one of them has to be their DH. So, you would think Trey Mancini would be their DH.
Okay. We'll put him then.
Okay. That was a hard list.
Yeah.
Not because
the first, like, six were easy and then it got real tough.
Yeah.
Okay. Starters.
So, DeGrom is obviously number one, but now he's expected to miss significant time. So if we're going by my rules of, like, well, could you see him being the best starter this year? You can't, right? Because
how long is he expected to miss?
That's the crazy thing is that I haven't actually heard. So he's shut down for a month. He can't throw for a month. So
I thought it was 10 days.
Let's pull up some news. So I thought I heard that he's shut down, like he can't throw for a month. And if he can't throw for a month, it's still going to take at least another month for him to ramp up and get ready to pitch. So you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, come on. I was going to say, unless he misses like 3 months, I still put him at first, but he's going to miss like 3 months. So. That sucks.
That really does suck. Just like as a baseball fan, like just to miss, you know, DeGrom and like that. And now Scherzer might miss a couple of days. I don't. Like, he has a hamstring issue, but I don't know if it's significant. But that really does suck to miss DeGrom.
Poor Mets fans.
That really it really did suck up the, like, I have a Mets fan. Friend, and I'm sure you do as well, but like that really sucked so much energy. It was like, and it was also April 1st, so like I sent him the link. I was like, oh, DeGrom's hurt. He was like, oh yeah, real funny. And I was like, wait, this is real. This is a sick joke. Like, this is actually legit. And then Scherzer started having hamstring issues, and they're unsure if he's gonna pitch opening day. They're thinking about doing a bullpen day. So that's, can you imagine going from DeGrom and Scherzer to a bullpen game? That's insane.
Okay, so now this gets tricky because Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball, and that's not difficult. But the next, like, 2 through 4, I think, are tough because it's, to me, it's Cole Scherzer and Corbin Burns.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what order?
I mean, I think I have Cole as the number one starter now that DeGrom is expected to miss significant amount of time. Like, he's my number one ranked starter. And it could be my bias, but like, you look at his Statcast page, you look at his stuff, it's just filth. Like,
and
so does Burns. Burns
to like basically what it was during sticky stuff. So either pitchers are going back to using sticky stuff now, but he's just not caring, or Gerrit Cole has figured out how to do it without sticky stuff, which would not shock me at all. He's like the J.D. Martinez of pitching.
Yeah. And Burns also has that really crazy stuff. Like, I really like Corbin Burns' stuff. My guys, for like, it was Cole, Burns, and Bieber were my picks.
Really?
I know Scherzer's really good. But, like, I still think, you know, there's, you know. But those, just based on pure stuff, those three guys were there for me.
Well,
and I think I would go.
Like, wasn't Bieber did he not play last year?
He got hurt. He got hurt. So I can't remember what his injury was, though. Because I guess that does depend. Like, I think he's healthy to start the season. I just can't remember. Because he came back at the very end and pitched a couple innings.
He hurt his
It was his shoulder. Okay. That's kind of concerning, but when he came back, he still looked good. I still really like his stuff.
I think I would put Max ahead of Bieber. Just because Max has been, he's been good for so long, and, like, I wouldn't, like, it's, again, I'm not saying Bieber is, like, significantly worse, but I trust Max to have a good season this year more than I trust Bieber.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense.
But then I have no problem putting Shane Bieber next.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like Zach Wheeler and Walker Buehler are kind of like
those were my next picks. And I think I would put Wheeler above Walker Buehler, even though I think Walker Buehler's stuff is filthy. I just think Wheeler just, you know, he has really, like, he's going to pitch a lot of innings. Like, you saw last year, he pitched so much more innings. I just have Zach Wheeler just ahead of him. Is it Zach with a H or is it with a K?
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Do we put DeGrom here, or do we think we still gotta wait a little bit?
That's a good question. Because in my mind, once I was like, oh, DeGrom's not number one anymore, so he's just off my list altogether. But that's a good point. If he's coming back in June, well, okay, let's talk about who else could it be. You would be having a full season of Brandon Woodruff. You would have a full season of Lance Lynn.
Giolito.
Would DeGrom even with...
But you I think you have to give DeGrom respect of...
Mm-hmm.
Leaving DeGrom off this list is just... You can't do
that. Yeah, it is. It is. And, like, in 100 innings, he put up, like, a 5 war, something crazy like that. I know, like, you can't expect him to do exactly what he did last year because he pitched, like, to a 1 ERA. But, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
And then I think I would go Brandon Woodruff next.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And then I just really like Lucas Giolito, so I want to put him next.
Mm-hmm.
Arguments can be made against it, but I think he's just an awesome guy. So
yeah.
Okay, so 10.
And then would you... So
people that come to mind. Lance Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta just think of pitchers.
So I'm thinking there's Lance Lynn, Chris Sale, but I think he's hurt. There's Robbie Ray that we completely forgot about that won a Cy Young. Trevor Rogers, maybe, but I don't think that's a real legit. He's really good, but I don't think he's legitimately there yet.
Rodon,
yeah. Gausman, Berríos, rounding out those lists.
The issue with Robbie Ray, Gausman, and Berríos, I don't think any of them have done consistently good enough to beat Lance Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rodon has the highest upside out of all of these people, but again, he hasn't been healthy.
I mean, up until last year, he hasn't done it. Like, last year was the first time he's ever done it. So if you're knocking Ray for it, I don't think you... And Ray did it over a full season, too. But I do think Rodon has better stuff. And I think he does have a higher ceiling. I think it has to be Lance Lynn, then. Just for consistency, yeah. And you know, yeah.
And it's
crazy. All he does is throw fastballs, yeah. Too. Like, I could see it catching up to him finally, but I think people are going to be really mad that we left off Robbie Ray. But I just can't put him there.
I don't see him doing it again. Like, I would be shocked if he did, but it was like 5 years of not being able to throw strikes, and he just randomly had a year of throwing strikes. I'm not sold that he'll do it again.
Yeah, same.
But however, I could see him, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he did it again and we look like, and we have to eat bugs because
yeah,
he is top three.
But he was in our conversations for that final spot, you know. Yeah. So give us a little credit for that. We didn't overlook him completely.
Yeah. All right, relievers. I mean,
so I think this is a clear number one. Josh Hader is my number one. Do you agree?
I think there's a pretty clear number two.
Liam Hendricks?
Yeah, Liam Hendricks is. And now you have their group. To me, like, names that come to mind here, you have Chapman, you have Devin Williams. How good was Devin Williams last year? Did he?
He started the year terribly and then finished off really, really good. Like, he finished his year injuring his hand. Do you remember that? Celebrating? He, like, punched the wall and he missed the... But I think my pick would be Devin Williams and then Presley and then Chapman. But that's just how I'm thinking. I know Chapman had a really, really terrible second half. But I still think he's going to do really, really good this year. Like,
Classe
is also really good. If you watched his games, and I guess this is probably the same thing with Chapman, but he, for some reason, he just, even though he throws 100 mile per hour cutter, he just kind of gets hits. He, like, it's soft hits, but he gives up hits, and he kind of, like, he gets into jams and he gets out of it, but, like, I could see him, like, not being so lucky this year. So that's the only...
Do you think Loizaga's better than Chapman?
So that was something I was going to bring up as well. Loizaga is a closer in waiting. I do think in our bullpen, I trust Loizaga way more than I trust Chapman.
I think I'm taking Chapman out. I think... So, like, I think the next little crop, if Classe, Raisel Iglesias, Colin McHugh, Romano, and Loizaga, and Kimbrel, and Kenley, I think that's probably all 10. But, like, I would put, so I think, I'm putting them there. Okay. And then, to me, this is a combination of Classe, McHugh, Iglesias. There's Iglesias, Romano, and Loizaga.
I would put Loizaga ahead of Iglesias.
Do you put Romano in the top 10? Do you think Romano's better than Kenley or Craig Kimbrel?
I think I agree with that. I would put them... I do think Romano is better than both those guys, yes. I think I would put Classe after Presley. I really do like Loizaga. I would put him above McHugh.
Yeah.
And then I would
Then call him McHugh.
Yeah.
And then Raisel Iglesias.
That's exactly the order I was thinking.
I think that's good. They're relievers.
Yeah.
It's.
I feel like we kind of went closer heavy just because that's how it is. I know we have Devin Williams and Loizaga who aren't the closers, but I just think those guys are just really, really good, and I think, you know, like their stuff. Nice.
Against the Jays, nice. Okay, top 10 players. Now, do we do it?
All right, so are we going to do top 10 war like we've been, just keep it consistent, or do we want to just do
top
10
players? And just who we think the top 10 players are.
Okay, all right. I think that's fair enough.
So, do we... Not putting Trout first is so difficult for me, but Ohtani is nuts.
That's where, so I had the same exact debate. So it was like, I know Trout really, really good, but then Shohei does hitting and pitching, and it's just so unfair to rank it. I want to say Ohtani is number one.
Yeah, you gotta.
But then Trout is number two.
And then, I mean, I think number three is pretty clear cut. I think it's Juan Soto.
Yeah, really
now
like that.
Now is when it gets tricky. Because, like, Tatis is up there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think DeGrom, even though he's a pitcher, is still in that kind of, like, I think he's a top 10 player.
Yeah. I'd put him at, like, 7. Like, I don't think, just because he only pitches once every 5 days, I just don't think he's, you can put him super high. Tatis is somewhere in here in the next
three
players.
I, so here, I after Soto, I think it's Turner. I don't know if that's too high. I think it's Turner and then Ramirez as like.
That, I think Tatis is better than both of them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
if
Tatis.
We're just going straight top 10 players, not counting injury and all that. I think Tatis is next.
Okay, yeah.
Then I would go Trey Turner and then Jose Ramirez.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I agree.
Okay, so then I think you have Acuna.
Mm-hmm. It's more just like, how do I rank these guys, right? Like, you have your list of guys that you're thinking of. I just don't know how I want to rank them. So because I think honestly I think Judge is better than Acuna right now. So, like, I would put Judge ahead of Acuna, but I could see, you know, in the future, Acuna's better, right? And I'm not even talking about just because Acuna's injured right now. I'm talking about, like, even if they had a full season this year, I think Judge is better. Maybe I'm crazy for saying that, but I do think Judge sneaks in top 10 somewhere.
So, the four players that I'm thinking right now are Judge, Acuna, Vladdy, and Freddie Freeman. Obviously, only three of them can make the list.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I would go Judge, Acuna, then Vladdy to round it out.
I think that's a good list. I think we could talk about, like, I think Judge, Acuna are definitely, like, my 8 and 9. And I think there's conversations about that just number 10 spot. But I think Vlad is really good, and I would definitely say he's top 10.
Yeah, that looks funny because we have Freddie ranked ahead of Vlad as a first baseman. But, like, that's tough. Ranking the top 10 players is tough. There's a lot of talent in the MLB right now.
There really is. Yep.
And we're definitely biased. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people probably aren't going to put Judge as 8, but if you throw out the health factor, I mean, if Judge plays a full season, he's nuts.
Yeah. Yep. Can we, as an example, pull up MLB Network's top 10 players or top whatever their listing is? Do they have that?
Let me see if I can find it. I have it pulled up. They have Shohei 1, Mike Trout 2, Tatis 3, Soto 4, Bryce Harper 5, Mookie Betts 6, DeGrom 7, Vlad 8, Freddie Freeman 9, Acuna 10.
So the one person that we missed off completely was Bryce Harper. We didn't even have him in our
Mookie,
I'm fine with not having him in the top 10 just because we've talked about it. Like, I do think he's hurt a little. I did see a little bit of a slippage last year. So I'm fine with leaving him off. I think the one thing that the real beef we have is not having Harper in our top 10 list.
And they have Trey Turner as 13 and Jose Ramirez as 15.
I think that's crazy to me. That's just crazy to me. The amount of value that they bring, it's crazy. I disagree with that completely. Who else? So who snuck into their top 10 list then?
Freddie Freeman.
I know we have Freeman listed as our top first baseman, so that's weird. But I think it's hard for me to rank, and I know we have Vlad in just sneak in as our 10, but it's hard for me to have a first baseman as a top 10 just because first base doesn't have that value, you know, like defensive value. So, like, that's why I really valued, you know, Tatis, Turner more than other players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy with it. I think the MLB is top 100 and their right now rankings were horrible. So,
Where do they have Bellinger ranked in their listing?
99 or 100, I think.
So he just sneaks in?
Yeah, which is, I don't think he should be. He's 99. He's ranked ahead of Belly or Yelly. Like,
yeah, he was.
Cody Bellinger was literally one of the worst players.
I think he was the biggest disappointment, biggest bust last year. There's no argument around that.
And you can argue like biggest bust doesn't mean like he's the worst because he went from MVP and he was like actually the worst regular.
Yeah.
Play like player that actually played a lot. He was the worst hitter.
I think he had like a negative 2 WAR. What? How bad was his numbers?
Let me pull it up.
Negative
1.5. He had a 542 OPS.
Ugh.
Like,
that's.
That is horrendous.
Yeah.
He had a.
And that's even.
A negative WAR with. And he's like a good defender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So imagine if his defense just slips. Like, the Dodgers weren't even playing him at the end. They just couldn't.
That's nuts that he went from winning the MVP, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, the 1.035 OPS, to 2 years later, 542.
If you told me, he's at the end of his career, you know, this was 2 years ago he won the MVP. Insane.
Like I don't think there's was a significantly better hitter than Cody Bellinger last year.
That's crazy.
Sure,
that's crazy.
Kiner Falefa be in the top 100 then? Because he's a better defender.
Yeah.
Like he was bad, like he wasn't good in 2019, and then he was just downright awful last year. So I think he deserves to fall out of the top 100.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. Well,
that's our list.
Yeah, there you have it, guys. That is
Yell at Ryan. Number. Yell at Ryan all your complaints. Tweet at him. Tell him how stupid he is for leaving off your favorite player.
Yeah, go for it. But yeah, I mean, if you guys want to reach out, definitely leave some comments in the YouTube video or reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram at The Bronx Story. We hope you guys liked it. We'll probably do this every year and. We'll probably do an episode at the end of the year where we reflect on our rankings and see how wrong we are because it's baseball. So Aaron Sanchez might come back and be the Cy Young. Like, you never know. But it was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. If you did, leave a rating and review on the podcasting sites or a like on YouTube. It really helps. So, yeah. guess that's this episode, and we'll see you guys next time. We will be doing our MLB predictions and our Yankees predictions soon, so be on the lookout for those.
Let's play ball. Let's go Yankees.
See you guys.